And we'll be picking up in verse 22. And Jesus has been talking to the Hebrews here, and he's telling them that he was the good, and was, he still is, he's the good shepherd, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he talks about those who belong to him hear his voice. We talked about that last week. And then today, the Jews are going to talk to him again. This is, I think, is like another day, but it's in the same area. In fact, he's actually at the Feast of Dedication, which also is known as Hanukkah. So he's at the Feast of Dedication. He's going to start talking to these Hebrews once again. And verse 22, and, well, I guess we'll, yeah, verse 22 of chapter 10. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews came around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. All right, there's a lot of interesting things that are going on right here. Chapter 10, verse 22. A lot of interesting things that are going here. You know, coming from the other time that he was speaking about being the good shepherd, he was in the temple there, or he was in Jerusalem, and he was talking to the Jews that were there, and he was telling them who he was, that he was the good shepherd. And he was explaining that. And then he says, now it's become winter. We don't know what time it was in the early. I look back trying to find a date, because when it says it was winter, that gave me something to look at. All right, so it was winter, and it was the dedication. Dedication is the time of Hanukkah. So that would be between December and the Hebrew calendar. It's Kislev, K-I-S-L-E-V, Kislev. And so in that month. And I looked up Hanukkah, the time of dedication. Does anyone really know what that is? It's pretty fascinating. Okay. It's one of the miracles. It was the rededication, the second dedication of the temple. The Syrians had been run out, and this you can find this in the history of the Maccabees, John Maccabee. And so they were dedicating the temple, and the temple had been ransacked, and so they were just putting things back into place because the Syrians had been driven out, and so they're just coming back into their temple in Jerusalem. And they needed oil, and they found just one cruse of oil, and it was enough for one day. And the Pharisees, well, the people of the time said, we need to put it off because it takes 7 days to make the proper oil in the Levitical law, to get oil and to have it done and blessed. And it took 7 days. It was a 7-day cycle to get enough oil to have to burn. But they found one cruse of oil, which was enough for one day. John Maccabee, the leader of the Maccabean revolt at that time, said, no, we've got to do it because now we're in the temple. God will supply. So they fired up the menorah. They fired up the candle. It should have only burnt for one day. It burnt for 8 days straight, which was time for them to get the olives, to crush the olives, to bless the oil, to get it all the frankincense and stuff put into the oil. And so that's what Hanukkah is all about. It happens to fall in December, our December. All right, so they call it the Jewish Christmas, mm-hmm. but it's really not. It was a miracle that God did. He took one flask of oil and stretched it out for 8 days, something that should have burned out pretty quick within a 24-hour period because that's all they had. But because of the faith of one man, he said, no, this is what we're going to do. Maccabee, John Maccabee. And he said, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. We're going to light the candle. If it burns for one day, praise God. But who knows if God will make it last. And the Lord stretched it out, and it burned just as bright as the first day it was lit, all the way until the 8th day, when they were able to provide enough oil to keep the menorah lit continually in the temple. So Jesus was there on that time. It's a pretty neat historical thing. So I spent a little bit of time today digging into that, because I never really knew what Hanukkah was about.
I'm sorry, Chris. What's the time? When did that
it's
happen?
It happened 164 B.C.
Okay.
Okay, so it is one of the... It's not
silent years.
Yeah, I mean, the silent years, yes. Okay. Yeah. You know, yes, it was definitely in the silent years. The no, the Maccabean history is in the Apocrypha, which was never put into the canon of Scripture. I've read the Maccabees. It is I've read the book, First and Second Maccabees. I've read those, and I did the background check through Josephus, the historian, mm-hmm. who backs up all of the other stuff, you know. And so it's very accurate, historical times and dates and peoples and fights and things like that. But they didn't put it into the canon of Scripture, you know, for the reason that they don't put things in the canon of Scripture. But as far as historical books, to know about the time of the silence, when God stopped speaking at the end of Malachi and didn't start speaking again until John the Baptizer came on, during those times, this was the one miracle that happened that's recorded in those times. And it was the rededication of the temple. The Syrians had come in, and they had ransacked Jerusalem, and Antiochus Epiphanes had come in and sacrificed a swine on the altar and all those things, which started the rebellion of the Maccabees. And so, and they fought valiantly to drive the Syrians out. Yeah. And so, but historical stuff. So Jesus, he was in town on that day. He honored that time. He came back into town. It was December. And something that the Jews at that time, they came up and said, tell us plainly. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, Jesus never said that he was God in the flesh. You're going to find out here in the next couple verses, the way Jesus worded things, it made the people who were Jews angry enough to kill him, want to kill him. So he came straight up and said, yes, me and the Father are one. We are the same. And so we'll be looking at that tonight as we get into it. And so in 22, they asked him, or 24, the Jews came around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The Father's works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. If ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All right, now, Jesus said, listen, if you belong to God, there's a couple identifying marks. First, you're going to hear God. When Jesus spoke, those who were going to be saved understood who he was. When he called the disciples to come out, stop fishing and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, they left their nets and they followed him. The ones who believed, they would hear him speak and say, he speaks with authority, not like the teachers do. He speaks with power. There's more to him, and they believed because of his words. And then when he was doing miracles, he was healing the blind man. He was spitting on the ground and making clay and rubbing it in people's eyes, or this one person's eyes in chapter 9. Rubbed it in his eyes, and he went and washed in the pool of salami. He went back to Italian. He got salami, put it on his eyes. Anyhow, he went to Siloam, and he washed and he received his eyesight. And so they were seeing these wonderful works of Christ. They were seeing how he was talking. And there are a lot of people coming to faith, not just because of his words, but because of his actions. And Jesus says here, listen, What you're seeing me do to the religious Jews of the time, what you're seeing me do, you're watching the Father, Jehovah God, you're watching Elohim, you're watching him work inside of me. And I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do. He and I are one, is what he had said earlier. And so they're saying, listen, show us. And Jesus gave us these things. If you really knew me, if you really had faith that God was going to send the Messiah, you would hear what I got to say. You would hear me and you would understand. So they were hearing, but they weren't understanding. They were seeing the miracles, but they weren't conceiving in their mind what was actually happening. That he was touching people and things were changing. He was tearing down the religious system to rebuild the relationship with the Most High God. For some reason, people have a hard time with that. Funny, people have a hard time with that still today. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll follow anything until it comes to Jesus as the only way, the truth, the life. And no man goes to the Father except through them. And so the Hebrews, the Jews at that time, are saying, show us some things. He said, my sheep, the people who belong to me, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right, now that word pluck is very important. You know that nobody can take your salvation away. I cannot come and say, Joshua, I'm taking your salvation. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, can take you out of Jesus' hand. Where is that? It's Romans 8. Romans 8. Flip over there. I think it's 8:30 something. Romans 8, 33. And no angels, no power, no principle, no thing.
35. Yeah, starting with 35.
Is it in 35?
Starts in 35.
Okay, yep. There you go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sore? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through the Lord, that through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, all right, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. All right? No virus can separate you from the love of God. No shot can separate you from the love of God. If your parents and your children, they don't like you because you love God, God loves you, and nothing can separate you from that. All right? That doesn't negate our responsibility to Christ. Just because no man, no power, no height, no nothing can separate me from the love of God, that doesn't take away my free will. A lot of folks use this for that saying, once saved, always saved. And I agree with that statement. If you are truly, absolutely born again, yes, God knew before the foundation of the world who's going to make it to the end, right? He knows that. I don't know it, right? As far as I know, as far as I can say within me, I will not turn back from the grace and the power of the Most High God. And no man can pull me away from that. But I do know people who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus talks about a parable about the seeds that are thrown out, and some are on the roadside, some are in weeds. They grow really quick, vigorously, but they have no root. And when the storms of life come in, the hardships, they fall away. So there are those who confess Jesus Christ, but they fall away. All right, but there are those who are absolutely the seed falls on good soil, and it digs down deep, and there's nothing that will separate you. And as far as I know, for me, I'm going to hold on to that. And it's not that I can hold on to it by myself, but Christ holds on to me. He started a good work in me, and I've been in this fight long enough that it does not matter what you... I know God is real, right? And as far as I can say, I will not do it. And as I say that, a shiver runs down my spine. Because I have a great enemy. You've got a great enemy that would desire to destroy you. That's the word. Thank you. Thank you. Destroy you, to destroy that faith. That would put such a stumbling block, a hurt in you, that you would blame God for it and walk away. That's a free will choice. It's not that anybody took that away. It's not that God stopped loving you and you left. God didn't perform the way you expected him to, and you got a broke heart, you got hurt, and you left him. He never left you. Right? He never left you. But you have a free will. And if you choose to walk away, he's not going to stop you. And as far as I can see in Scripture, there, Paul talked about Herman, or some guy that was with him. And
Hermaeus?
Hermaeus. somebody like that. And, yeah. And he loved this present world more than the work, and he left, and he walked away. I know people, personally, in my personal life, that I would have thought would have never walked away, but things happened in their life, and they turned away from Christ, and they went back to the world. Yes, my brother.
The rich man.
Yes.
Turned away and was, you know, in pain because he couldn't give up the things that he had.
Mm-hmm.
To follow Christ.
Yeah. I don't even know if he ever knew Christ. We're talking about those who confessed Jesus and then walked away. When Jesus talked of that hard teaching about him being the bread, and you had to eat his body and drink his blood, and that was a hard saying. And a lot of his disciples turned away from him and followed him no more. All right, they believed, they confessed, they followed. And then a hard saying came up, and they couldn't do it no more, and they walked away. I don't know about their salvation. But I want to be like Peter, right? When Jesus looked at them and said, "Will you also leave? Will you also walk away?" And Peter said, "Where else can we go? You have the words of life. And what is there else? I mean, where else could I go? I can't. You are the bread. You are the blood. You are the sound life." The real, true, born-again believer in Jesus Christ has that. Those who are wishy-washy, all right, they may not have that. And I say may on purpose because I don't know what is in a man's heart. I can't say that for anyone else.
Can I just say, so that was Cliff, right? He loved the Lord. I mean,
yeah.
We got married. He loved the Lord. He praised God. He was a, you know, and he fell away. And he, years later.
Yeah.
And so... What that taught me and what that helped me do was to say, you trust no man. You trust
yes.
no woman. You do not judge somebody based on you love them.
Mm-hmm.
But you do not like build anything on their foundation
yes.
because that is not, you cannot do it. You do not know the heart of man.
Right.
With Cliff, I think when it came right down to it, it was a pride thing, and he just could not accept it. He just could not accept the way God had done it.
Yeah.
Managed his life. And,
yeah,
and
exactly.
So he was just mad. And
and it took years, but he came back.
Years, but he did.
You know, which brings us to the prodigal son. Go ahead, brother.
Well, Jesus says in his word, if you love me, and this isn't a salvation type of thing. It's after you accept it. But he says, if you love me, you'll obey.
Right.
Well, obey is not something that you did one time, like you forgave
right.
somebody,
right.
or you're going to do in the future.
Yeah.
It's a continual.
It's a lifestyle.
Not perfect. We go through
right.
sanctification, which is the process of him pressing in, and then he's pressing sin out.
Yeah.
But it's a continual. Every day you get up and say, Lord,
right.
I love you, and I'm going to obey.
Yeah.
Right.
And tomorrow, I'm going to obey. And it's a continual, it's you set like Jesus did, but we can't. He set his chin like flint.
Like flint.
And Isaiah, well, now we can't do that. We're not Jesus.
Right.
But it's a continual obedience.
But we can make up our mind
that
today, as much as it is in me, I am going to follow him.
Yeah.
Right?
And
today,
no, we're going to fall short.
There you go.
But you're still following.
Yes. Right. And God looks at the heart of the man, not on the physical outside. So we shouldn't judge somebody else's salvation. That's why I talk about me. As far as I know, I can't, in my mind, I can't think of anything so tragic that would make me fall away from my relationship with God. I know that no other human being can pluck me out of that, but I also know the doctrine or the where God has given us a free will, and he's not going to force you to stay in a relationship that you don't want to stay in. Right? The prodigal son, again. The two sons, and he says, I'm going to take what the father has, give me my inheritance, and I'm going to a foreign country. And he went and lived there forever. How long that he lived there? Till he ran out. Till he took the blessings of his father, and he wasted them away. Until he was eating with the swine. If he would have died in that predicament, without repenting, without coming back, without coming to his senses, If he would have died there, the Father would have not been able to even, he wouldn't have known, because the one, the individual, out of his own free will went away. But he did repent. He did remember the goodness of God. Cliff, he did repent. He did remember the goodness of God. He did come back to the Father. And oh, when the Father met him, and like it says in the Bible, that's the only time that the Father runs. He ran to him and draped him and gave him the ring, and they killed the fatted calf together. And today, as much as I know about anybody, Cliff is in the glory of God. All right? That's where he's at. There are other folks that I know that were preachers, teachers of God's word, and something happened in their life. And they said, this far and no further. God can't be real if this happened. And they walked away. As far as I know, those individuals have not turned and walked back. I don't know if they still have breath in their lives. If they have breath, they have a chance to come back. But if they don't have breath, they're sealed. Their fate is sealed. They walked away. Again, Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. Right? I can't, no demon in hell can take you out. You can't be taken out. But you can walk. You got something? No. Okay. And so, again, we have that picture. There's a lot of folks who think that they're born again and they're really not. Matthew 7:20, 20:22, somewhere around in there. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but the one who does the will of the Father. Not everyone who comes and says, Lord, Lord, will be accepted because they didn't do what they were supposed to. You workers of iniquity, I think Jesus calls them. You worker of iniquity. Instead of doing the will of the Father, you work what was right in your heart. Now, those were people coming to church and acting like Christians. They had all the proper Bible verses. They did all the, jumped through all the hoops. Very religious people. Very much probably like these Hebrews, these Jews that were questioning Jesus. I'm sure that they were righteous in the law, right? But they didn't have the relationship with God. And the reason that we know that they didn't have the relationship with God, God spoke to them through his Son, and they didn't recognize God. Right? Because my sheep hear my voice. One way you can tell that you're born again, absolutely born again, when you read the Bible, when you pray, you hear God. Alright? Now, I've never heard, like, when God speaks and the mountains move and stuff like that. Never heard that. But I've had several instances in my life where a still small voice changed my direction. Mm-hmm. Where I was reading his word and I realized that what I was understanding is not what truth was. What I had been taught was not what truth is. And I made an adjustment because I heard the voice of the shepherd saying, not this way, that way. And you make that, and that's how you know you're born again. That's how you know that you're saved. And long as you keep following him, you can be assured that you're saved. When you quit following him, I don't know if you have any security in your salvation. All right? Because if you're not willing to obey him, is he really your Lord?
Are you abiding in him?
Amen. Are you receiving your daily sustenance from him through prayer, through study, through fellowship? Or are you getting your sustenance from somewhere else? Anyhow, when Jesus said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, praise God for that. Praise God. I love that. That no power, no principality, nothing's going to take me out. No angel anywhere is going to do it. And my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Again, double praise God. Right? You know, I am there, and as long as I'm hearing the shepherd's voice and I'm obeying what he has, I have confidence in my salvation. Right? And 30 says, and I and my Father are one. Okay? Anybody who says that Jesus never said that he was the Father, that he was Jehovah, that he was God, is right here. I and the Father are one. That means we're the same. We're equal. We're one. And the Jews understood what he said because they picked up stones to kill him. Right? There's a lot of people out there that I've talked to, and they say, well, Jesus never said that he was. Well, wait a second. He said it here, and he also told it to Phil. Right? Oh, I'm trying to remember exactly where that was. It was just, it may be in John 14.
17:21?
John 17:21? Are you right there, buddy?
Almost.
Almost.
Come around for us.
Yep, I'm going. So that's Jesus' high priestly prayer. I don't know if that would be it.
Well, verse 30 says it, Chris.
Yeah. Amen. Verse 30. Yep, there you go.
My Father, our
and Philip was coming to him and saying, show us the Father, it would be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to Philip, you've been with us, me, for so long, and yet you say, who is the Father? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father, is what he said to Philip, one of his 12 disciples.
It's
and so,
14:9.
Okay. I thought it was from 14, but in 14:9. And so, and then. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. So he just got out of a near-death experience with the Jews one time. Now he's in another time because it says again. And the Jews answered, and Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? All right? If you're seeing me doing miracles, you're seeing me heal folks on the Sabbath, right? Because that's where they're going to stone me before. You're seeing me do these things, so why are you going to kill me? And they said, the Jews answers and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for the blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. All right? So that lets you know that who he was talking to knew exactly what he was saying. They knew exactly what he was saying. So those people said, listen, you're calling yourself God? There's no man that's God. And in their understanding of who God is, the spiritual father of all things, you're right. They were right, you know, except for the virgin birth. Okay, except for the Spirit of God moving over, except for the prophecy that was fulfilled that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Except for those prophecies, you know, that they overlooked. They just didn't believe. They didn't believe that Christ was the one, that he was God manifested in the flesh. And so in that they said that he was blaspheming. Being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Now, I had to look up that. And that is actually in Psalm 82, right?
Yeah, I was looking for it.
Yeah, I think it's Psalm 82, 6.
People die like men, right?
Yeah.
Ye are gods.
What is that,
82? I
think
so.
Yeah, 82 and verse 6.
Yeah, so yeah, it's 82,
and,
6.
And verse 7.
Yeah.
82, 6, and 7.
So here Jesus is quoting a prophecy, and he's...
He said, I said it.
Yeah, he said, I said it. Didn't I tell you this? In the word here, and I'm trying to get there, I'm in Psalm 50, 56, 63, 67, come on.
Well, you're looking for, where you said, I hear God's?
Yeah.
That's 82.
82.
Psalm 82, 6 and 7.
6 and 7. All right, so I said it wrong. Yeah, and so, it's a short psalm. It's only 8 verses. And so, listen to what the whole thing, because it's a short psalm here. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Think about that. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the fountains of the earth are
nations.
Thank you. Mine says earth. The fountains of the
earth.
Foundations. Thank you.
Of the earth.
It's the other word that I got wrong. The foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods. All of you are the children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Rise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Now, there's a lot of prophecies in that. Look at what he's saying, Asaph is talking about here. God standing in the congregation. Where was Jesus at when he did this? Solomon's porch. He was standing in the congregation. He was proclaiming these very things to the very people that this psalm is written about. Now, the Jews of the time, they had a problem of not taking care of the poor, not taking care of the sickly and the orphans and stuff like that. And Jesus was there preaching to them the righteousness of God the whole time. Jesus on the scene, God on the scene, God standing in the congregation. And he said he would deliver the poor and the needy and rid them of the hand of the wicked. Verse 5 says that they knew not, neither will they understand. The Jews that Jesus was talking to, they knew not and they would not understand. They wouldn't understand. What a great, of course, unfair, Jesus is God. Okay, so when he quoted this psalm, he was quoting the whole thing, pointing out one simple thing, that ye are gods. All right, I have said, ye are gods, all of you the children of the Most High. Now, that's little g gods.
There you go.
Amen. That's not big gods. Go ahead, brother.
Is he saying that there isn't multiple gods, there's only one God, and he's the Son of God?
Yes.
Because he has a question mark. He says, it is not written in your law, I said, ye are gods.
Right.
He's like, he was trying to emphasize there's only one God.
Yes.
And well, I am the Son of God.
Is it not?
No, remember what Jesus said. He was equal. He counted it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
All right? Now, we are the offspring of God. Right? Now, we're not big G gods. We're not Elohim. We're not the great, one, true, powerful God. But we are the offspring of the one, true, great, powerful God through Christ Jesus, through faith in the written word of God. So, we are not the creator God, but we are the offspring of God. My son is not me, but in a way, he is me. Right? Your son, he's not you, Joshua, right? He's not you, but he's an offspring of you. You're in him. Yeah.
It's like God has a relationship with himself.
There you go.
Because
yes.
It's not a man. It's, I guess, calling God a spirit is, I guess, selling it cheap because he's God. He created
right.
Spirits. But, I mean, that he's not like us. So that's, I guess, as easy as you can explain it.
Mm-hmm. It's mighty ones or judges. When it says the little g gods here, there's a Hebrew word for it. It's not the literal Jehovah God. You are offsprings. You're the children of God, the essence of God.
We're not usually referred to as gods.
Yeah. Pardon?
We're not generally...
Yeah.
Referred to as God.
Yeah.
But
call me
you
a
say
saint.
Judges when you say, you know.
Yeah.
What's the other word you used?
She.
She. There you go.
Pharisees.
Yes. We're.
Well. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand
what you're saying. Mighty ones or judges. All right.
Yes.
That's yes. We have the authority of the Most High God through Him. Right. He gave us his signet ring,
yes.
Right? And Jesus was that signet ring of the one true God. He was God manifested in flesh. But here he's talking to the Hebrews there, and he says, in your scripture, the one that I gave you, I called you little g gods. That I called you that. You are the mighty ones because of God. You are created in the image and the likeness of the one true God. Right? That's who we are. Go ahead, brother.
We can do the works of Jesus, but we can't do the works of the Father.
Well, if you've seen, you do the work of one, you do the work of the other. Jesus said, even mightier works than these you shall do, because I go to the Father.
He's the only one that claimed that he does the works of the
yeah.
Father. And he's like, if you don't believe me, believe the works.
Right.
So maybe that's like the where the bar is set. Like, we can do the works of Jesus Christ, because it's a model for us to follow.
It's a model for us to follow, but remember what Jesus said. He said, greater works, that you're talking about what he was doing. He said, greater works than these you will do. Why? Because I go to the Father and I send you the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, he only came to seek and save the lost of Israel. That was his job. All right? That's what he came to do, is to make a way back to the Father for the Hebrew people. But his disciples, where did they go? They went out. They started at Jerusalem, went to Judea, went to Samaria, then went to the uttermost parts of the earth. All right? How did they go there? Persecution arise and they spread. Now, Jesus, he only was in Jerusalem in Israel. Yeah.
Does it say that Jesus is the great mediator?
Yes, he is the mediator between God and man, the one truth.
That's who we go through.
Yes, absolutely.
Or
yes.
Father.
Yeah, we can't do any of that. I can't do what I do unless I'm following Jesus. You know? There's a lot of people that do sort of what I do, but they're not following Jesus. All right, so when I say that, I can't do what I do unless I'm following Jesus, because I can't lie that well. You know? I can't do that. There are other folks who don't know Jesus, but they still stand behind the pulpit and they talk. I mean, our illustrious governor stood behind the pulpit and preached.
She's not reading the Bible.
No. Uh-uh. Although she said, you are my angels and my apostles. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely. But anyhow, we have the standing with God of great authority. That's what he's saying. And the Hebrews had that opportunity. Jesus came to make that right. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, ascended on high, he sent back the Holy Spirit to not just light on people, but to indwell the hearts of men. And when that happened, we were endowed with powers of the kingdom of God. Right? He gave us the ability through the Holy Spirit to proclaim. Jesus never came to America regardless of what the Mormons said. Right? Jesus didn't go to China. He didn't go to, well, Africa. Well, he did. He went to Egypt. But, you know, he didn't bring the gospel to Canada. Right? He gave us the Spirit and we went. You know, he gave his disciples and the ones who followed his disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went, they did greater things than what Jesus did. All right? Now, Jesus raised the dead. I ain't saying, except of Paul and Peter, I don't know if there's anybody else talks about that. Those are just works on the outside. But what the Holy Spirit allowed us to do as representation, representing the Godhead, to go out and proclaim the good news to everybody who has an ear, praise God for that. Praise God. He called you and he allows you to go do it. When Jesus said, greater things than these you shall do, he's talking about going outside of Israel. He's talking about going to the uttermost parts of the earth to proclaim the word of God. Greater things. I'm not saying that we can raise the dead, or I don't think I can heal nobody, you know, to be honest with you. If God ever gives me that ability. I've never spoken tongues, right? I've never, you know, but I know this through the power of God. If I was in a position that I needed to preach to somebody that did not know my God-given language, one of two things would happen. I would speak in their language or they would understand in their language, right? One of those two things would happen, because God's word's going to go forth through a vessel that's willing to do what God's word tells them to. So, you're a little God. A little G God. Right? Because you have the spirit of a big G God in you. That makes sense? So, as Jesus said, you are gods, that's what he's talking about. The scripture says you are gods. And so, if he called, verse 34, this in a half a page, 34. And Jesus answered, said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. I said, ye are gods. If he calls them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent him into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do the works of my Father, you believe not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. I am in him. So Jesus is talking to the Hebrews that are about ready to stone him. He said, listen, you don't want to believe that I am in the Father. You don't want to believe that. At least just believe the works that I'm doing. No man had ever, no prophet had ever healed crippled men that were crippled from their womb out. Right? No man had ever healed a blind that was blind from birth. No man had ever healed the one who couldn't speak or couldn't hear. But Jesus was doing all of these in front of them. And he said, listen, if you can't believe that that God sent me and that I am him, at least believe the works that you may believe. The reason that he came and he started doing, believe that, if you believe the works that you're seeing with your own eyes, then maybe you would believe that God is in me and I am in him. Got to start somewhere. Yeah, Lynn.
I just wanted to comment because I didn't quite understand what it was talking about because you have to read the Bible carefully because I literally read it as, it is not written in your law, I said ye are gods.
Yeah.
So I was completely like, and then you were saying that, so I looked at it again and said, is it not written?
Yeah.
Just, but that's crazy. Like, just those two words backward and forward have completely different meanings.
There you go. That's why it's so important to use the Bible God gave the American people. Amen. Slow down, read it word for word, every jot, every tittle. And don't get it mixed up, you know. Because I don't know, I have the problem, I see things sometimes backwards.
Yeah,
sometimes
I
down
read it that way, and I had a completely different, right, the wrong understanding of it.
And if you do, just read verse 30 again.
Read verse 30 again. Always back up, go to verse 30. Yeah, start that one, underline it, put it in your memory books, yeah.
That's it.
And as he said that the Father is in me and I am in him, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went again beyond the Jordan into a place where John first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but these things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. All right? Again, the witness of your witness makes a difference. John's witness made a difference. The woman at the well that Jesus met in John chapter 4, he told her about the river of living water that would bubble up from inside of her if she would just believe. And then she went to the town and said, this man told me all things. Could this be the Christ? When all the people came out, they said, we don't believe just because you said it. We came and saw it for ourselves. When John the Baptizer was telling people that this was the Christ, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to unloose, that you're going to see a lot of, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When John the Baptizer was talking that about Jesus, people were doing this, they were scratching their head. What do you mean? John, you the man. You're dressed in camel hair and eating grasshopper soup. Man, you're the guy. You're... And he said, no, I'm not even close to the guy. I can't even be his servant. I can't even loosen the latches of his sandals. He's so much higher above me. John got beheaded. John decreased. Christ increased in people. Jesus went into the temple and taught. John taught by the Jordan. John taught in the wilderness. Jesus taught in the cities. Jesus went to where the people were. When John was teaching, the people went where John was. They went to Jordan to get baptized and hear this crazy preacher about making the way straight. And then when Christ comes on the scene, everything changes. John goes down, Christ goes up. And those folks who heard John's preaching now are coming to Jesus and saying, everything we heard about that John said about this guy is real. He must be the Christ because of John's witness of who the Christ would be. So when we go tell people about Jesus, talk about the kingdom, talk about the good news, talk about the faith we have in him, instead of talking about the Pope, instead of talking about all the things that go along with that, instead of worrying about the president and all those things in the political realm, if we would just teach the kingdom of God and his righteousness, things might change. Mm-hmm. Things might change. All that other stuff brings fear. When we teach Jesus, it brings faith. And if nothing else, they can see the faith in us. And like John the Baptizer, you might have to die first before it actually takes effect. You know that? Mm-hmm. Those people that followed John, they didn't know until they saw Jesus, right? But they heard about Jesus through John. They may be hearing about Jesus through you, but they won't know until they see Jesus for themselves. So we just got to keep telling people about Jesus, keep telling them about the kingdom, keep telling them about how they can remain secure in their salvation, that no man can pluck them out, but be careful, you do have a free will and you can walk away. We could get into Hebrews, but that's for another time. It's a little after 8. I love you guys. I absolutely do. We'll pick up in chapter 11. Jesus is going to do some pretty cool stuff in chapter 11. We're going to watch the dead rise. Amen? And some things about the last day are going to be talked about in John chapter 11. So anyhow, praise God. It's a blessing to see you. Who wants to close in prayer?
Your gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that each of us would come to the real revelation, understanding that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is our Savior, and Lord, we're in Him. We are more than conquerors, and greater is He that is in us and is in the world. Mm-hmm. As we look out at the world, Lord, and all this coming, all the array of so many things, Father, but Jesus Christ is greater than this world. And it could be no other way. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He dwells in the midst of the believer. And Lord, help us to walk in the light as He is in the light. Mm-hmm. And be subject to Him. And actually subject to one to another too, Lord. Help us to love one another. Help us to obey the commandment of the Lord Jesus that we love one another. And I pray you bless each of us as we go and grant us, Lord, a safe trip home and bless the rest of this week. Use us. I pray, Lord, that